Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Today's Daf Yomi is Chagiga Daf Chav Gimel, and we are holding on Chav Beis Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. We're in the midst of the sugya of Chomer B'Kodesh, which is pretty much a list of chumros that were applied specifically to kachem-related materials, karbonis-related materials. And basically the point is, the higher you go, the more kaddish you are, it's pretty much a balancing system. Depending on how kaddish you are, that's how much you have to guard yourself against tumah. Look, keep in mind, tumah and kachem may not become tummy. One has to look after them. There's a pasuk, mishmeres trumoisai. You're not allowed to have these things become tummy, so you have to really be careful. And the more kaddish it is, the more stringencies the chachamim imposed on us to ensure that indeed it remains tahir and unaffected by tumah. So amongst those ma'alos, amongst those stringencies, we have the following. Three lines from the bottom. Hanoises ha-medrus, noises ha-tumah, avalos ha-kaddish. While one is carrying a medras, which is a term used for something which the Zav or the Zava or the Nida sat on or walked on, which is really an Avhatuma. So while you're holding it in one hand, you may not carry it. In your other hand, something which is a carbon, which is Kodesh. It may touch, it may get affected by the Tuma. So this is a concern, a Chumrah applicable to Kodesh, but not to Truma. You may carry Truma in the other hand. Says the Gemara, Kodesh, my time Eloi, what's wrong with carrying Kodesh at the same time as the Medrash? Now, of course, we're speaking that the Kodesh is protected. It's inside a barrel or something that's keeping it hidden from the Medrash. You're not actually going to be Matame the Kodesh at this point. So typically, while one is actually holding a Medrash, he himself has the ability to transfer Tumah to something else that he's holding, but in this case it's protected from his tumah because it's sitting inside a clay barrel, a kli cheres, which is not going to be mekabel tumah from the outside, or another such example. So at this point, the kodesh is really tahor. So what's wrong with carrying it at the same time as the medras? My time aloy. Answers the Gemara Mishum Masa Shahaya. There was a story as follows. The Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Masa Be'echad Shoyim Mavir, Chavis shal yayin kodesh mimakim lamakim. It was an incident involving a fellow who was carrying, he was transporting a barrel filled with wine, which was intended for a korban, for a nesachim. So he was carrying it mimakim lamakim, and he was wearing a sandal. V'nifsaka ritzor shasandalei. This sandal happened to be tummy. It was used by Yezav, and the strap, the ritzor of this sandal, broke off. V'natla, so he picked it up. He picked it up, he picked it off the floor and put it onto this barrel with wine of kachim. And he was walking with the barrel covered with this ritzua. And what happened? And the ritzua, this strap which was now tummy, fell into the barrel of nitmes, and everything inside became tummy. But at that point, Chazal were geyser. Hanoise as a medras, noise as a truma, avalesa kodesh. While you're carrying something tame, you may carry truma at the same time, but not kachim. We're concerned about this story repeating itself, and they were massacring this gezeira. Yachi truma nami. If that's the case, if you're concerned that the medras will affect the kodesh that you're holding, then the same thing should apply to truma. Why are you limiting your gezeira to kachim and not to truma? Homani Rabbi Chananya ben Akavihi, our Mishnah, which limits this concern to Kodesh Dafka, is in line with Rabbi Chananya ben Akavihi the Amar, who says like this: when something occurs which generates, which is a catalyst for Gzeira de Rabbanon, it only applies to that very specific circumstance. We're afraid of that same story repeating itself. But we don't broaden the gzera to other situations. And since, in this case, it was kachem that were being carried, and they were affected by the ritzu of the sandal, We stick to kachim. We don't spread it to truma. Rabbi Chanan ben Akavi, the Amar loy asru el biyardin, ubisfina ukemasa shoyu. As we're going to see soon in the Braisa, there was a gzera the Rabbanon when it comes to mechatas, which is a reference to the par aduma water, which has to be kept really, really looked after, really kaddish, really tar. There was an incident involving somebody transporting it and got tamei, so they said, look, you have to be careful. And they established safeguards to ensure its tahara. But, says Rabbi Chananya, the Isser only applied in the Jordan River while using a ship exactly as the story occurred. Mahi, what story are we referring to? The Sanya. A person should not transport the paraduma water or the ashes from the paraduma. Should not transport them over the Jordan River in a ship. Nor should he stand on one side of any river and toss it over to the other side. It has to be grounded. It can't be transported by air, by sea. It has to be on the ground, firmly on the ground. Nor should he swim with them or ship them over water. Nor should he even ride on an animal while he's holding these items. Nor should he hitch a ride on his friend's back. The point is, these items have to be firmly grounded to ensure that they are safely secured from all tuma. Elim kein hayuraglav noiges bekarka. So you can carry these items if your feet are firmly planted on the ground. Aval mavirin al gesher. For instance, you can walk them over a bridge because you're planted on something solid. If any cheshish, without concern. But throwing it across the air, throwing it across the river, sending it over with a ship, that's a problem. Irrelevant of whether it's echad hayarden or ve'echad sharna oris, whether it's the yarden or other rivers. So according to Tanakama, it's a very broad gezera. Keep it grounded. Keep it planted on the ground. Don't ship it. Don't fly it. Rabbi Chananya ben Akavi Omer, no. The concern is very limited. Lo asru ela biyardin ubesvina ukemasa shehayu. The gezera only applies to a very specific circumstance, which perfectly mirrors, it duplicates that very story that happened, which created a tumah concern. And therefore, transporting it over another river, no problem. Only in the Yarden with a Sfina. My Maisa Shehaya, what exactly happened, which triggered this whole gezera? The Amar Avida Marav, Masa Ba'adam Echad Shehaya Mavir Mechatas Ve'ifer Chatas. There was a story with this fellow who was transporting these items, Ve'yarden u'besfina, over the Jordan River in a little ship, thinking that he was safe and secure, protected from tuma. And what happened? Turns out that there was a kazayis of a mace lodged under the floor of the ship. So unbeknownst to him, everything was tame. On account of that story, they were masakin as follows. One should be careful not to duplicate the same scenario. So according to the Rabbanan, Tanakama, this story triggered a real concern. Don't send the Efer Chatas over water, any water. You never know what's going on beneath. Don't send it over an animal. Don't send it over. It has to be firmly grounded. You have to keep it firm and secure. Whereas Rabbi Chanani ben Akavya, he's very, very concerned only about that very case. That's it. But if it doesn't fit the same circumstance, it's not the same exact situation, it's not the Jordan, it's not the Sfina, it's okay. Perhaps the point here is that we're just trying to raise awareness, to increase awareness. Look, Chatas has to be kept safe. So once you remember, once you know this halacha, you're not meant to transport Efer Paraduma on a ship over the Yarden. Why not? What's wrong? Oh, there was that story with the Kazayis Mace. that makes you mindful of the fact that this thing has to be kept safe and secure. And now you'll extend that awareness to any situation. So Kwantar Bachananya, there's no need to broaden the gzera and say, look, every situation that resembles that story is us. No. As long as we enacted one gzera in that specific circumstance, that's sufficient to raise awareness, to make you conscientious of the fact that these items have to be kept especially, exceptionally safe and secure. So getting back to our sugya, we had a story of a fellow who was transporting wine of Kodesh. Turns out that he had a ritzua of a sandal that ended up inside the wine and made a tummy. Mishnah says that this incident triggered the gzera in our Mishnah. We no longer allow you to transport kachem material together with a medrash in your other hand. For concern that it might end up this, you might end up with the same situation of the thing bimatame the kodesh. But why only kachem? Why isn't this a concern by other items that are tor, like truma, which you're also not allowed to be matame? The answer is, we're following Rabbi Chananya. According to Rabbanan, you're right. We would broaden the concern and expand it and extend it to truma as well. But according to Rabbi Chananya, whenever there was a concern triggered by a specific incident that took place, we apply the gzera, the concern, to that very circumstance. And once you have that in place, that is sufficient to raise that awareness, to make you pay attention to these types of situations, in which case, you'll be careful by truma as well. But we don't have to make a gzera and a tumah by truma. You'll be careful. Perhaps that's the svara or Rabbi Chananya. So it's a very specific gzera pertaining only to Kodesh, just as the masa that took place. Ibailu, the Bnei Yeshiva had the following question. So we know there's a gzera with carrying a medrash, a sandal tamei, a sandal that's tamei. What about sandal toher mao? Can he transport the kachem material in one hand while he's holding a sandal which is tar in his other hand? What would be the chashash? Says Rashi, maybe we're going to make a gzera one on account of the other. We don't want you carrying any sandals for concern that next time it might be tummy and it might end up inside the barrel. That's one shayla. We know the concern is by a chavis psuchav, he's carrying an open barrel with kachem. Certainly that carries a real concern because the medrash might end up inside the barrel, which is exposed. Chavis stumamahu, what about if it's a sealed barrel? Very unlikely that the tumah will get inside. Shall we say that it's okay? Or shall we say, no, we don't differentiate between open and closed? Third question. Avar v'nosa mahu. Suppose he didn't listen to us, or he wasn't aware of this because he already happened to carry a medrash together with kodesh. Shall we say it's only lechatchila? It's a recommendation. It's a strong recommendation. But the evident fact is, he knows there was no contact between tumah and tahara. Do we treat the Kodesh as Tor, or do we say no? Chacham established that when you carry Tumah with Tahara, we deem it, we consider it Tumah. We have a machlekes. Rabbi Elo Amar, im avar v'nasa Tumah. If you actually carry the Tumah with the Kodesh, we consider it to be Tumah. We treat it as though it touched. Rabbi Zera Amar, avar v'nasa Tor. Nobody ever, it's okay. And Rabbi Chananel Paskins, Golakula, he says, these are malas the Rabbonon. And Kaimelon Kolba Rabbonon Avdinon Kedivri HaMekel, we are Mekel. It would seem like perhaps in all three Shilas, we are Mekel, we don't consider it to be Tomei. So bottom line is, we have this additional Mala of Noises HaMidras. He should not be carrying Kodesh. We are in line with Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, who tells us that whenever there's a concern trigger that was set in motion by a specific story, by a specific a michshal, a pitfall took place, Chacham saw fit to enact a gzera, but only, it's only limited to the same type of circumstance which mirrors, which duplicates that specific story. And that's why in our Mishnah, we speak about taking care not to carry Kodesh with the medrash, because of that story that happened with Kodesh. Okay, next on the list is Kelim HaNigmarim B'Tahara. Mishnah says, this fellow produces utensils, he has a factory, and he made sure that when he was finished the production process, it was tar. Right? At the point that it becomes a kli, he protected it from tumah. But It's not enough for kachem. We need tzvila if you want to use it for a carb. Asks the Gemara. The gamrinu man, who was involved in the finishing touches of this kli? Who produced the kli? Who was there at that point? What kind of workers does he have in his factory? Was it a chaver, a fellow who keeps too high standards of tahara? Why would you have to be tevil the kli, which is certainly tahar? Ela de gamrinu amaretz. Oh, and amaretz must have been involved. That explains why it needs tefillah. Well, nigmarim b'tahara karilahu. Why does the Mishnah refer to these kelim as nigmarim b'tahara? If an amaretz was involved, and we know that an amaretz is considered like a tamei. Omar Rabba Bar Shila, Omar Rav Masna, Omar Shmuel. Loilam de gamrinu chaver. You know what happened? The chaver was the foreman. He was the owner. He was in charge. He was the only one engaged during the Gemar Kli. The concern is because we're concerned that perhaps an Amaretz came into the factory before there was a Gemar Kli. And he was so enamored with the items there, and he started spitting, and it was all, his spit was all over the place, and there's a chashash that his spittle, right, his saliva, might have hit one of the kelim. And as Rashi says, we treat Amaretz like a Zov, and we know the Zov's spit is an avatuma. It's metamedically. When did this happen? The Nafal Emas. When did the saliva hit the Kli? Ilema Mekame de Ligmari. Was it before the Kli was even finished? Olav Manu, at that point, it's not even a Kli. It's not susceptible to Tumah. There's no concern. Ela Basa de Gamri. Oh, after it was completed. Then it came into contact with the Amaretz's spit. Well, Mizr Zarbu, this chaver is in charge. This owner is certainly careful to keep Ami Haaretz away from his kalim. So why is there a concern with these kalim? La'ilam mikame de gamr. You know what? He was there before. Haaretz came in and took a tour of the factory before the kalim were completed. So what's the concern? V'dilma bi'idna de gamri. Maybe he got so excited and he was all over the place. His spit was flying and it hit one of the kalim, which at this point is not yet affected because it's an unfinished utensil, which is not mekabel tuma. But v'dilma b'idna de gamri, maybe when the kli was completed, 10 minutes later, adayin lachahi, that spit was still there and still moist and still matame. So although at the point of contact with the kli, it didn't affect the kli, it was still an unfinished keli. But at this point, when that kli was finished, it still had the roik, the tzinoira, the spit was still present on the kli and is metame the kli. And that's why we need tevila. But it's a chumrah. After all, it's just a suffix, whether there was any spit on the kli, whether it lasted that long. So we require tevila if you're going to use the kli for kach. Now it's clear in the Mishnah that tevila in, all you need is tevila. Head of Shemesh Loy, you don't need to wait till nightfall, which is typically the process applied when something is Tamei Min HaTorah. But here it's only Midr Rabbana, it's only a Suffolk, we're not sure really what. So we need a Tefillah to be extra careful, extra conscientious, to raise awareness. But you don't need Head of Shemesh, you don't have to wait till the day is over. Now we have a problem. Mas Nisan Loy Kar Belezer, it appears that our mission, which is happy with Tevila alone, is not following Rabbi Lazar, who seems to hold that both elements are required, Tevila and Heref Shemesh. How do we know? This is not. This is a Mishnah in Para. As we're going to see soon in the Gemara, they had trouble from the Tzdukim, those groups of individuals who used to challenge, used to give the Chachamim a hard time, they opposed the Torah Sheba Baal Peh, and they claimed that in order to be involved in paraduma, in the shechita, in this, whatever you're going to do, it has to be done by a person or utensils that are completely tar. Tevila and head of shemesh. Only that's considered a tar. And we disagree. Rashi brings a drasha. V'hizo hatar ala tamei. The word tar is trying to tell you that even a partial tar, even tevila enough is sufficient for involvement in paraduma. So the chacham used to purposely mitame the person or the kelim that were involved in this process to show the tzedukah that they're wrong, to undo the tzedukim, to oppose the tzedukim, to disprove the tzedukim. So they used to be matame, and then run to the mikveh, and right after tefillah, get involved in paraduma before nightfall. And Rashi actually says, and I'm at base, because they were so, it gave the impression perhaps as they were being lax, because they were being matame, the items and the people involved in the par. So because of that, they established extra special super stringencies that we find throughout Shas, applied specifically to the Paraduma situation, the Chatas, the Mechatas, the Efer Chatas. Why? In order to dispel any misconception, to remove any doubt, to correct any false impression that one may get from the fact that they're getting involved with Tumah, that you can take the Paraduma lightly. You can be mezalzel in it. That's why they established many chumras that we find throughout Shas. In any case, we have a Mishnah which describes the process as follows. You have a shveferis, a reed, a bamboo, shechat chalachatas, which was cut, right, cut off the ground, to be used as a container for the ashes of the paradum. Rav Lezer Amir Yitbol Miyad, you toivel it right away. He means to say that you don't have to be metamed because it's already presumed to be tummy, as we're going to see soon. Relative to chatas, we treat it because we have to live up to the standards of the paraduma. So this plain reed is considered tummy, and we're going to be toivel it and use it like that without hera of shemesh. And again, this is meant to disprove the tzedukim. It's meant to be a hecker against the tzedukim. We use something after tefillah without hera of shemesh. Rabbi Shua Emir Yitame V'achkach Yitbo. Chod Rabbi Shua, you have to actually be Matame. You take a sheret and you put it into contact with this Shveferes, with this reed, to make it really Tame. Then you're a Tevlet. And now, wow, look, Tevila with a Herav Shemesh, we're going to disprove the Tzduk. Vavinimba, we had a kash on this mission. The Chod Chaman. Who exactly chopped the reed off the ground? Ilayim and the chad chaver was a chaver who's presumed to be tar. Lomeli tefila. Rabbi Lezer says, go be tevel it. Why would you need tefila? It's presumed to be tar. The tefila is worthless, and it's not going to create any hecker to the stukim because it's not even tummy. Ve'elo the chad cha ma'aretz. Oh, and ma'aretz got involved. Since ma'aretz is assumed to be tummy, so now the shiferes is assumed to be tummy, and tefila is required. That explains Rabbi Lezer. Go be toivel it. Asks the Gemara, Baha Leimer Rabbi Shua Yitame V'Yitbo. So why would Rabbi Shua require us to go be Matami the Sheferes? It's already Tami from the Amorites. Hatami Bekoi, it's already in a state of Tum. V'am Rabbi Bar Shila, Amar of Masna, Amar Shmuel, Lo'ilam Dechot Chachavar. Chavar was the one who chopped it off the ground. Umishim Tzinoirad Amorites. Why are we assuming that it's Tami? Why does Rabbi Lezer require Tvila? And why is it going to be a hecker against the tzedukim? Because an amaretz got involved. We're concerned about the saliva that squirted out of the amaretz and landed on the shveferis. The nafal emas, when did it land on the shveferis? Ilema mekamed l'chatcha, is it before it was taken off the ground? Halav manu, it's not a utensil. It's mechuba l'karka. It's not going to be mekabel tumah. It's not going to be affected by the tzimnoira d'amaretz. Ve'lo basa l'chatcha, after he chopped it off the ground, Mr. Zerba, the chaver who's doing this, is very careful to keep it away from the amaretz. Lo'ilo mekamid l'chatcha. Concerned that the tzinera hit the reed before it was chopped off the ground. Dilma be'idna l'chatcha adayin l'achi. We're concerned, like before we said, because perhaps the spit was still present on the sheferes after it was taken off the ground. So the chaver was involved. He kept it safe and secure, but we're concerned that perhaps that ma'aretz was roaming around and he was spitting and it hit the thing. And now when he took it off the ground, it becomes susceptible. It becomes a kli and susceptible to tumah. And now it became tummy. Therefore, tefillah is required. and you're doing tefillah without Heder of Shemesh, and that's a heker against its tzedukah. Rabbi Yeshua says, no. Go take a sheretz and be matame these shveferes, and then go be toilet and use it before Heder of Shemesh. Bishlem le Rabbi Yeshua. We understand how according to Rabbi Yeshua we have the heker against its tzedukah. Hainu deika heker le tzedukah. Because you were really matame it with the sheretz. It's a bona fide tumah. You did tefillah and you went to use it. And we saw it to make heker against the tzedukim disnan. Metamino you are kohen as it serves a parah. They should actually be metame the kohen who's involved in burning the parah and then send him to the mikveh and getting involved. At that point before Heder of Shemesh, why lohitzi miliban shal tzedukim to disprove the tzedukim? Shal yo'aymrim bimurei v'shemesh ha'isanasis. They would insist that only mu'urei v'shemesh, only those people or utensils that experienced Heder of Shemesh can be involved in the parah dum. In this case, we were matami the shoferes. We would toivel it and use it right away. That's a heker against the tzedukim. El Rabbi Lezer, according to Rabbi Lezer, we don't add insult to injury. We don't add tumah to the shoferes. We just take it. We assume that it's tummy. We would toivel it and we use it right then and there. Why? Because as we said, there's a concern about the tzinura dam aretz. Let's think for a second. Worst case scenario, there was some saliva sitting on the shofaris while it was taken off the ground. This chashash, it's only a suffix, right? So this chashash, that this may have occurred, what does it generate? A chiv tvila? Or a chiv tvila and her of shemesh? Let's think for a second. We treat it like a vaday tumor, only like a suffix, and tvila is enough. According to the Gemara before, we had a diuk in the Mishnah. This type of concern only generates a chiyuv tefillah, that's it. If that's the case, so where's the heker against its tzedukah? You don't need Heder of Shemesh to begin with in this type of situation. El Rabbi Elazar, I amars b'shleima ba'alma b'inan Heder of Shemesh. This would make sense if typically this type of suffix tzinoira dam oretz generates a chiv of A, tefillah, and B, Heder of Shemesh. Well, in this case, that we're only doing tefillah. Ha'inu d'ikeh kerelis d'akim, you're undoing the tzedukim because you're skipping the second phase. You're not doing Heder of Shemesh. And this flies in the face of the tzedukim. Eli amr's b'almo, lo'y b'in Heder of Shemesh. But if you're coming, you're telling me based on our Mishnah, this type of situation doesn't require more than tefillah. Doesn't need Heder of Shemesh to begin with. So in the case of the Shveferis, which has that concern with the Amorites, and all you need is tefillah, and you did the tefillah, my heker letzdukin ika, in which way are you disproving? Are you opposing the tzedukim? That's all you need to begin with. When something needs tefillah and Heder of Shemesh, and you suffice with tefillah, you are undoing the tzedukim. But when something only requires tefillah to begin with, such as the case of the suffix tzinoira from the Amoritz, and you did tefillah, that's all you need to do. You're not disproving the tzedukim in any way. Amorat, asur ketmei sheretz. Typically, this type of Amoritz situation, a suffix Amoritz situation, only requires tefillah, except by parah aduma. It has higher standards. And we treat this kli as though it touched the sheretz. Right? In keeping with the higher standards of parah aduma, we treat it as though it's really, really tummy, as though it's a rishon l'tuma, as though it touched the sheretz, in which case, it requires both phases, tefillah and Heder of Shemesh, and by sufficing with just tefillah, you are undoing the tzedukah. Ela me'ata lo tami adam. Well, if it's only something that touched the sheretz, or treated as such, doesn't have the ability to affect a person. A person can only get tumah from a source, an avela, a sheretz itself, but not from a kli that got its tumah from a sheretz, that second-hand tumah. It doesn't affect a person. Alo matani. So why does the Braisa tell us that in this case, choytcha umatbila, the fellow who was cutting the reed, who was matbil the reed, ton tvila, he needs to be toivel, because he came into contact with that reed. If the reed is only a tumay sheretz, which means it's a rishon l'tumah, it won't affect a person. The beautiful Rashi here five lines from the top. Look, to Tami Adam, it can't affect a person. It says Rashi, the Hotmei Sheretz Lavav Tumu. It's not a source. It's secondhand Tumu. Ve'inu Tami Adam. We never find that person or utensil can become tummy by way of touching something that has secondhand tumah. Very nice lashon Rashi. You can only get from the source. A person, a kli, can only get tumah from a source. Food, drink, they can be affected by anything, but a person, a kli, only from an avatumah. Except for one thing, he says, chutz mitmei meis. Person who came into contact with a mace or a kli that came out, that can affect a person in a kli as well. Okay, so back to the kasha. This shayferis is treated like a tmei sheretz. It shouldn't affect a person. And we see that it does. Ve'ella asua ketmei meis. Says the Gemara, okay, let's go to the next option. We treat it like a tmei meis. Which means that the shayferis is treated like an avatumah. Like a touch the mace, and now it can affect the person as well, and that's why the person needs tefillah. Okay, if this reed is considered as though it touched a mace, then it needs to go through the entire process. Get the sprinkling of the paraduma water on it on the third day, on the seventh day. Alomatanya, why does the Brisa say, all you do is chop it and be tefillah, and you're done. Right, the person who chops it and has matbil the reed needs to go to the mikveh himself, okay? But the item itself, bottom line, is the item itself, all it needs is tefillah. Tefillah in, only tefillah. That's sufficient to remove its tumah. Hazaz shlishi shvila, it doesn't need hazaz, a paraduma. Ella rather says the Gemara, let's modify it a bit. Asua ketmei meis b'shvi'i shalai. Chacham, consider this reed as though it's an avatumah, but it's already past all the hazois. He's already on his seventh day. So he's done the entire process. He's still tamei. He still needs to be tevel in the mikveh. We're talking about the reed, right? It needs to be nitvel in the mikveh. And it can be metame person. That's why the person handling it has to go to the mikveh as well. But that's it. You don't need more than that. And bottom line is the fact is that we are happy with just tefillah. We don't do heder of shemesh, which is typically the case when something is an avatoma, and that disproves the tzedukim. So let's just stop for a second. Bottom line is we answered halakasha. And now Mishnah, we seem to learn that the suffik amaretz involvement only generates a chiv tvila, not heder of shemesh. We had a kasha from the Mishnah in Para. We're trying to disprove the tzedukim. We have a shveferis that was perhaps got affected by the amaretz, and we do tefillah. But how does that disprove that tzedukim if all you needed was tefillah to begin with? The answer is that when it comes to paraduma, we have higher standards, and we're so concerned, we treat anything like it's really, really tummy in the highest degree. For instance, in the case of this shveferis, we treat it like it's an avatuma. Like it's meimeis on the seventh day, in which case it needs tefillah and heder of shemesh. And the fact is that we suffice with tefillah itself, and that undoes the tzedukah. Continues the Gemara. He took a reed, and he decided, you know what? He's like a meimeis on day seven. You're being very creative. You're creating some sort of new, you're concocting some sort of new tumah. V'atanya, we have a brisa which says that me'olam lo chitchu dava b'parah. Even though they did many, many malis, many chumras by the paraduma, we never find that they concocted a new creation. They invented a new type of tumah. Let's go over to Rashi on the left. Lechitchu dava b'par, ava bisha asuba malis harbi. We find many chumras. Oh, why? Here's the Rashi. Bishvil hazilzal hazeh. This was meant to counteract the appearance, as though we're taking it lightly. Shari matama koin asayifra. Because they used to actually be matama the koin. Asayisit tfulyam, to make him a tfulyam. So, because of that, they enacted many stringencies. But still, they didn't invent a new concept. L'chitru b'gzeiris ma'ilaseo dover she'eni matzeh b'shemokim. So how does this fit with what we're saying here? V'im kesha amarta. If it's as you say, that any kli, which is presumed to be tar, is treated like the ultimate tamei. Ketmei meis, hare ein lecha chiddush gadol mizeh. You're treating him like a tamei meis. How can you take something which is tar and say, oh, you're a tamei meis? So to say that perhaps the Amma Oretz got involved and made it tamei, made it a rishon l'tumah, fine. But to consider this thing like a tmei mace, like an avatum, how'd you get to that point? That's a real invention. Answers the Gemara, no. It still fits. It fits the mold. They never invented a new type of tumah. But they applied a pre-existing tumah. They applied a previously known concept of tumah to this item. That they can do. They didn't invent, but they applied. Amar Abaye Shalai Amru Kerdim Matami Moishev. They would never say, even when it comes to paraduma, they would never say the following, that a kordam, an axe, which is a tool, a work tool, should become tami moishav, which would mean that if a zav sits on it, it becomes tami. That doesn't work. The sani of a yoishav ala kli. If a zav sits down on a kli, it becomes an avatuma. But not every kli. If it's meant for sitting, it's a seat, it's a couch, it's a bed, but not a container, not a tool, which is not meant for sitting. Perhaps if he flips over a large container which contains a sa'ah, he flips it upside down and sits on it. Or a tarkav, which is lashon of trei v'kav, two and one, three kav, a smaller container, flips it over and sits down on it. Do you think it becomes a medrash hazav? No, tamalei v'va yeshev ala kli asher yeshev olav yitma. Rashi says, the diuk is from yeshev. It should have said that the dove sat on it. Asher yashav, past tense. Asher yeshev sounds like it's something intended for this purpose. It's a seat. It's meant to serve in this capacity. And only that gets affected by the zav. Misha miyuchad liyeshiva, something meant for sitting. Yotzeh, as opposed to a container, a tool. They tell him, get off of us. We're busy. We've got to get to work. Sha'im loy amoy, get up. V'nasa machtenu. We have to do our work. We're not meant for sitting. So that's the concept by Ezov, and that we never do by Paraduma either. We don't say, well, a tool has a din of a Moishav, of a Medras, a contain. No. That's unfounded. It's ungrounded. We don't create new things. But a reed, a Kli, to say, well, you're like a Tmei Mace, that's okay. Although he's not a Tmei Mace, but when it comes to Paraduma, we add all these Milas and all these concerns. We can consider any remote possibility of Tuma having occurred, and we take the almost the most stringent form of tumah, we apply it to this shayferis. Because this is a kli that could be makabel tumah. He's not like the container with the zav. That doesn't connect, doesn't relate to the zav. This shayferis, this reed is a kli that's makabel tumah. And this allows it to apply the most stringent form of tumah to him in honor of the paradum. Okay, let's continue down the list. Hakli mitzaref mashabaseicha lekodesh avloi letrumah. Misha tells us, another chumr bakachim is as follows. If you have a kli that contains many items, kodesh-related items, and one becomes tamei, we treat them all as though they're one unit, they're all tamei. He touched one, that affects them all. The kli combines them all, makes them into one singular unit. Perhaps the point is that they're all meant for carbon, right? They're all going up to the mizbech, so they're all considered one unit. There's a joint purpose. They're functioning in the same capacity. They're treated as one. That applies only to Kurdish. Munan Amili. How do we know this? Omer of Chanan, it's a pasuk. It's according to Rav Chanan. This concept is Minat Torah. The Amakro, by the Nesim, it says, Kav Achas, Asara Zahav, Maleo Ketoris. The word Achas teaches you, Hakasav Asoy Lekol Mashabakaf Achas. Anything inside this cliché, this spoon is considered as one. Masar of Kahana. How could you say it's Daraisa? It's clear from the following Mishnah that it's only midrabbanon. Mishnah begins with Rabbi Shimon Meseiro tells us that Efer Chatas, Paraduma ashes, are considered one entity. Right? If they're sitting in one kli, if you touch only a little bit of the ashes, everything becomes tummy. And we have Hoisiv Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva adds to that Hasoilis, flour, meant for the carbon, vakteiras, the incense, valavoina, vagecholim. Right, the crushed teiras, the levoina, that's the incense that brought together with the mencha, vagecholim, coals. So all these carbon-related items are considered as one. Shem naga tefillyayim b'maktsasei paslas kulet. They're sitting in a kli, and a tefillyayim, a fellow who had tefillon, is awaiting head of shemesh, so it's a lighter form of tumah. Even he can affect the entire content as one. V'adu rabbanani. It's clear this is a din de rabbanan, not de raisa. How do I know? Mimai. Tani reisha. Look at the beginning of the Mishnah. Heid, Rabbi Shimon b'maseira. So he testified, al efer chatos, the ashes of the parah duma, which is certainly not a carbon, it's not mizbeach related. She certainly can't apply the drasha of kaf achas to that substance. Over there, it's certainly only in the rabbanon. Shenaga atami b'miktsasa shetimei skuli. If Tami touched part of it, everything becomes affected. Uktani hoisiv Rebbe Akiva. On that, Rebbe Akiva adds the following items as well. Soilus, k'teres, which are mizbeach related items. It's clear from the course of their discussion. It's the rabbanon. So tziruv kli is the rabbanon, not the rice. Amar Reish Lakish, Mishum Bar Kaparo, Lo Nitzrucha El L'Shiyari Mincha. The truth is that the concept of Tziruv Kli, of treating everything inside the Kli as one, is Minat Torah, based on the Pasuk of Kaf Achas Asorazov. That's only when it needs the Kli. That's only when it's on its way to the Mizbeach. It's part of the Hakrava process, to put something in a Kli Shoris and bring it to the Mizbeach, so the Kli Shoris combines it all as one. When Rebbe Akiva tells us that the soilus is treated all as one, because everything in the kli is considered united and one, shiyari mincha is what he's speaking about. The leftovers, after the kmitza, after the akhtar, the leftovers, that goes to the kohen. That's not mizbeach related. Tziruv kli b'nat Torah only applies to something on the way up to the mizbeach, but not shiyari mincha. Doiraisa, tzorech al kli akli mitzarfe b'nat Torah. Carbon material on its way up to the Mizbeach, which needs a Kli Shoris, the Kli is now going to combine it. It's one entity, it's one carbon. Shein Tzorech HaKli, but something that doesn't really need a Kli, such as the leftovers of the Mincha, there's no requirement for them to be in a Kli Shoris. In a Kli Mitzarfe, the Kli can't really affect it, can't combine it. V'asur Rabbanon v'gazru da'af agav de'en, Tzorech HaKli, Kli Mitzarfe. The Chacham came along and added another Chumrah. That even in this case, the Kli's Mitzarfe combines it and makes it into one. So both are true. We have the pasuk that's referring to karba material, anticipating a krava, sitting inside a kli shoris. But once it's done, it's just shiori mincha, doesn't need a kli. Now we have the rabbanon, who extended this concept to that situation as well. Tenach soilus, that explains soilus on Rabbi Kiva's list. That's the leftover of the mincha. What about the other items, Keteris and Levena, which are certainly Mizbeach related materials? They're only going up, they're not coming down. That's the Raisa. Amar of Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua. I'll find you a case where it's only Midrabban. Kigoin, Shet Savron al Gabe Kartavlo. He piled them onto this leather mat, a flat mat, which has no interior, has no Teich. The Raisa, because Minatoira only Yeshle Teich. Mitzaref, a kli which has an interior, it makes it all join together because it relates to the kli. The kli surrounds all the substances, all the materials, and makes it into one. Emlei toich in a mitzaref, it doesn't have an interior such as a flat mat, it doesn't combine it. Vos rabbanu v'tikun, rabbanu came and extended it further. The afagav, the emlei toich mitzaref, even if there's no toich, no cavity, there's no interior, it's sitting on one utensil, it all joins together as one. So according to Rav Chanan, there's an element of Minat Torah, that's when it's in a Kli, it needs the Kli, and the Kli has a Toich. But otherwise, it's only with the Rabban. Upliga the Rav Chanan. This is how we say that the concept of Tziruv Kli is Minat Torah, based on a Pasuk, is in disagreement of Rav Chanan. Sorry, Upliga the Rav Chanan, Adar Chieba Abba. Rav Chanan, who maintains that it's Minat Torah, is in disagreement with Chieba Abba, who claims that it's only with the Rabbanan. Don't Chieba Abba Rav Yechanan. Meidusa shel Rav Akiva, Nishnis Mishnah Zu, our Mishnah, which presents us with this concept of Tziruf Kli, it's based on Rabbi Kiva's testimony. It's all Medrash Rabbanan. There is no concept of Tziruf Kli Minatir. Okay, let's do a brief Chazorah. We actually had three malos that we discussed today. Noises HaMidras, can't be Noises HaKodesh. And we learned that this was based on a story of a fellow who carried Kodesh together with Tamei and became Tamei, who followed Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya, who suffices with that specific circumstance. And that will sort of arouse us, make us pay attention, to keep things tar, as we find by the Paraduma water. There was a story with a Yarden and a Sfina, turned out to be Tamei. Rabbi Hanani says, you know what? You can't duplicate that story. But that's it. It's limited to that specific circumstance. What happens with the Eved if he carries Tuma, carries a Medras together with the Kodesh, the Machlekes, whether it's considered Tamei or Tor, and the Psak Halacha is that it's Tor. The next thing we discussed was Kelim HaNegmarim B'Tahara. Utensils that were finished, that were completely processed B'Tahara, meaning the completion was B'Tahara, to ensure that it's Tor. It still needs Tefillah L'Kodesh. We're concerned perhaps that Nama Eretz was roaming around and his spit hit the thing and it was there while it was finished, in which case it becomes Tamei. The Gemara was Medayik from the Mishnah. All you need in this case is Tefillah, because after all it's just a Safek. Included with Kli Mitzaref Mashab Soichi, anything inside a Kli is considered joined and combined as one. According to one sheet, that's Min HaTorah, provided that it needs a Kli, provided that the Kli has a Toich, otherwise it's Rabbanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the entire concept is merely Midrabbanan. Much hatzlacha to you, and all the best.